Kamesh is the 15th word in the Hebrew alphabet, and it is a picture of a thorn. Remember this, a picture of a thorn, and it means to grab, hate, and protect. Uh-huh. That's kind of wide variety of meaning.
Did you say hate? H-A-T-E?
Hate, yeah. Grab, hate, and protect. And the ancient Semitic Hebrew word for it is sin. Sin. But anyway, let's read. So we have, let's begin to read here, and we'll look at it. Psalms 119:113. It says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Mm-hmm. You know, that thorn, you know, Jesus, that crown of thorns around his head. And, but we see here we're dealing with the mind. Mm-hmm. Right? Vain thoughts do I hate, but thy law do I love. Mm-hmm. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. And this word, hope. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Back to the word hope again. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of thee. I'm afraid of thy judgments. You know, earlier Candace sang that song of the mysteries of the love of God. You know, and Ray talked about Jesus there as a servant. But, you know, nowadays people, for some reason, they don't like to talk about the judgments of God. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see here that the judgments of God are wonderful. Mm-hmm. And how wonderful they are is the extent of how much He loves us. Let me paint a picture for you. Mm-hmm. Say, Brother Charles and Mary's over here in Walmart. They going down the aisle, you know, getting them some groceries. And say a fellow was come up to Miss Mary and just smack her on her hand and say some banging ugly words to her. Brother Charles, boom, knocks it back. Cold, laying in the floor. You know, typical what a husband would do for his wife, right? Mm-hmm. Something along those lines, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, think of that in that aspect. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. You know, in the book of James, it starts out with patience, you know. Mm-hmm. Man needs patience and all, and goes on to a double-minded man, you know. Mm-hmm. But patience is a key word here. And in the book of James, it ends with patience. Talk about patience. Be patient, brother. Come in the Lord. Mm-hmm. But he's talking about the coming of the Lord and patience doing a work in us, a righteous work in us. Yes, ma'am.
What does vain mean in that? Unproductive.
I mean.
Okay, I'm just wondering. Because it means a little something different in English, so I was wondering if anybody knew what that meant.
In the Amplified, it reads this way, I hate the thoughts of the undecided. Double-minded people. Remember, James talks about double-minded people. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That your law
will
love.
That's what my verse is. I hate a double-minded man.
Double-minded.
But talking about showing the different, I've read a good commentary this week where I'm driving that is in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and I'll kind of tell you the story I just told you about a man. Loving his wife, loving his bride, you know, protecting her. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we just read, those words. You know, protect, hate, and those dealing with minds and all. But Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8, it talks about the coming of the Lord. And it says, Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, this when he comes back to earth with saints, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will return to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplicants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel, those people that live, shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. But here's what I'm, verse 14. Remember, the church is going to be with the Lord, right? When he comes back and he destroys the Antichrist and all his armies with his mouth and all.
Yep.
But this is what's going to happen after he does it. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thy enemy, the king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt see evil anymore. You know, so the Lord, in destroying that enemy and doing away with the enemy, just confirms his love to us.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, because, like, explain that, you know, like, but that's how much God loved. I mean, there's so many aspects of his love. A servant, a husbandman,
warrior.
The Lord loves us. And judgments are good. They're good for us, not something good for the wicked, but they're good for God's people. Amen.
Amen.
Well, come on, Sister Mary.
We can also destroy the enemy with our mouths.
Yeah.
But we sometimes use it to destroy people with our mouths, and it's not our God's intent for our tongue.
What study that was made, Daddy, when you said this is good? Pure language.
Mm-hmm.
A pure language. Lord, may we speak with a pure language.
Yes, Lord.
I never thought, I know I've read it before, but it didn't register. Pure language. It's pure, you're not going to say evil about anybody.
No.
The true meaning is pure.
Amen, sister.
But Charlie, care to pray for her?
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word that has been sown here today. We thank you for a fresh anointing on these teachers each Sunday. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and bless the speakers in a mighty way.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name,
in
we
Jesus
pray.
Name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's put your hands together and give God.
I had this image of back in the day when, you know, the grandmothers and stuff were sweeping that floor. Okay, sweeping that stuff right out the door, that's the devil being swept. I mean, she was just, get on out of my house, you old dirty thing. See, that's what was in my head.
That was
the same. Amen.
Amen.
He
said.
Whoa.
That's how us saints are bold to go to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
We got our throne ready.
Praise God. Whew, thank God this morning.
Amen.
You know, we've been talking about the greater glory.
Amen.
where the Holy Spirit is about to lead us into a greater glory. When we read the Word of God, we see some things and we're just amazed at them. Well, I tell you, when people see you and me, they're going to see some things that they're amazed at.
Amen.
Because a greater glory is coming on us to do greater things. And we just yield ourselves to the greater glory. The more we teach about the glory, the more we talk about the glory, mm-hmm. the more you're going to be ready to receive it when he pours it out on us. We're already in the glory mm-hmm. right now because we go from glory to glory. We are glory carriers.
Yes,
you're carrying the glory of God. So remember that if we could just remember that, our life would be different to the world and to God's people.
Amen.
When you realize and recognize, hey, I'm carrying something here. I'm carrying the glory of God. You'll do things different. We want to talk about worship this morning, the thing that helped us to get, and when we talk about the glory, I want y'all to know that we're talking about the manifested presence of God. We're not talking about angels are going to, yes, help us in our end time, and we need to study about them, and we will do a study on angels. But the manifested presence of God is Jesus himself.
Yes.
It's himself. You know, I told you before that the presence of God, you know, there's the omnipresent where he's just everywhere. And then that's the presence of God in us, where we go from glory to glory. But then there's also a manifested presence where he's trying to bring the church in that the world can see him. It's not about you. It's that the world can see him through you. The world is going to look on us differently. They're going to see. We're going to be the news. We've had a lot of bad news, but it's time for the church to be the news in a good way.
Amen.
Amen. They're going to say, it was an outbreak over here, and it wasn't E. coli. It was the church breaking out. Praise God. So we're going to see that, and you must envision that now. Don't wait till it comes. Envision it now. Remind yourself, hey, I'm a carrier. I can't behave this way. I'm a glory carrier. It makes you behave better. You know, it
Amen.
Brings you to your senses. It makes you think different and operate different. Now, what we want to talk about, I want to talk about your highest calling. Can anybody tell me what's your highest calling?
Worshiping the Lord.
Worship is your highest calling. I know, you know, some people love to say, I'm bishop. I've been called to be a bishop. All the high callings, they love to put those high callings on their name. But your highest calling, sister, is that you worship. You were created. Now, Peter said it this way. He said, every generation. Praise God. When you go to Peter, he's talking about every generation is called. You just don't come. He said, every generation is called. You're in this generation because you was called to this generation. And as we studied the Old Testament, we seen that Jesus always introduced himself to every generation. He said, I'm the Lord, I'm the God. I mean, every generation that came up, he kept introducing himself who he is. But we are a generation that has been called. You just didn't pop up here because of your mom and dad. You was called. You're a called generation. Praise God. And what did Peter say we were called to do? I love y'all. Y'all so quiet and easy.
I'll shuffle with the praises of him and his call us out of darkness.
And to the marvelous light. We were called for that. Peter said you're called for that. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the light. And you can show forth the praises now. And that's what Jesus, we're going to go to the fourth chapter of, we're going to the fourth chapter of John. Where Jesus, we see him shifting worship. He's bringing in a new paradigm for worship.
Amen.
And I'm glad he shifted. Woo! When I think about it, I'm so glad that he did that. And you know why I'm glad? It's because we don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship him.
Yes.
We don't have to go to the mountains to worship him. John 4th chapter. I guess we'll start maybe at the 20th verse. John 4 and 20. Okay, we know that Jesus was thirsty. He had sent his disciples into the city. He wasn't only thirsty, but he was hungry. But he had sent his disciples in, and they were going to buy some food while he sit there and rest. But really, what Jesus did, he had an appointment with this lady. You know, it wasn't just he just sitting there, you know, just gagging some time. But he said, I must go through here. He said, somebody's got a divine appointment with me. And he said, I must go through here. But let's start at the 20th verse. Jesus responding to what the woman had said. The woman, after he told the woman a couple of things, she said in the 19th verse, you must be a prophet. So they tell me this, why our fathers worship here on this nearby mountain. But your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship, which is right. You know, she was asking Jesus, I'm reading out the Passion. She was asking Jesus a question. Now, where's the right place for us to worship? Are we to worship on the mountain? Are we to worship in Jerusalem? Thank God we don't have those places we have to go to worship. Jerusalem, you know. But Jesus here, we see here, he's doing something different here. He's doing a new paradigm shift in worship. And he could do that because he's here. Because he knows that people can worship differently now because he's going to the cross and through the blood of Jesus. It was going to change some things. So the worship has changed. So why are we still not into worship like he's calling us to? Now we must realize worship is just not a song. Worship is not a place. Worship is it's not necessarily all the things that we think if you're not singing, you're not worshiping. But worship is also giving. The wise men, they brought gifts. They said, I'm coming to worship a baby. He wasn't even a man yet, a baby. Can you see grown folks bowing down and worship? Because they knew, they had been told that that's the king. And they brought gifts according to the king. They said, we want to worship. They worshiped him with their giving. And we see here this is, lady had came here. We're going back to the fourth chapter of John. She had came for water, but Jesus looked in her life and knew she needed something else. He knew she needed that well in her, that well of water, where she could truly worship She was confused on worship, said we worship in the mountain and y'all worship in Jerusalem, you know. What is right? Are we, you know. But here Jesus is going to bring her to a right worship. And when he brought her to the correct way of worship, we're going to see what happened after then. That's when I'm telling you, worship is your highest calling. You know, some preachers and teachers with these high callings get messed up sometimes. They thinking that their bishop, this and that, is the highest calling. And so they get confused and they stop worshiping. And they want to be worshiped.
Worship keeps everything in order.
Huh?
Worship keeps everything in the correct order.
That's good. Say it again.
Worship keeps everything in the correct order.
Amen. It keeps everything in the correct order. That's good. That's real good, Mira. I like that. Okay, we see here Jesus having to give her a little lesson on worship. Let's go down. I'm skipping for time. The woman said, this is also confusing. One is coming, the true Messiah, and when he comes, he will tell everything we need to know. Jesus said to her, you don't have to wait any longer. The anointed one is here speaking to you. I am the one you're looking for. You know, Jesus is also going to tell her how to worship. He says, our fathers worship in the mountain and in Jerusalem in the 21st verse. And he said, woman, you believe the hour has come when you shall neither worship nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. He worship not what he know, what he worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Mm-hmm. But the hour come, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For God seeketh such to worship. Said the true worshipers. Those are people. The true worshipers is going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, the reason he had to say both of these, spirit and in truth, we know if you just have truth and don't have the spirit, you don't have life to it. But see, the Holy Spirit has entered into you that he can help you worship.
Amen.
I mean, you got help. When he say he's help, he's help. Sometimes we think he just help in prayer. But he's help also in worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Just say, Holy Spirit, you know, just yield yourself to him. He's just not help in prayer. We've always got the idea he's just help in prayer. He'll help you in your prayer. He'll help you in your worship. He'll help you in your counsel. He said, I even help you in your teaching. Mm-hmm. I'll teach you all things. I mean, he wants to help in every area of our life. So Jesus knew that the Holy Spirit was coming and he was going to be like a well down in us.
Yes.
That we can just lift our hands and make that connection. Because do you know what true worship is? It's ministering to the Lord.
Yes.
We get a chance to minister to him. And we must carefully, don't use your five senses. Worship is a spiritual thing.
Amen.
If you try to use your five senses alone, you'll try to do it like in the natural. But let your five senses know that, hey, I'm ministering to the Lord. I'm ministering to the Lord. It bypasses your five senses. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to worship. And in truth now, see, in truth is very important because all in John 14, 15, you know, the Holy Spirit kept saying, I'm the spirit of truth. And when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He said, my word is truth.
Amen.
Now, let me give you a snapshot of how we must have truth in worship. We see when Jesus was confronted by the devil in the wilderness, I don't have, I wish that, I don't have time to read it. He took him and said, I give you all these kingdoms. He told Jesus, that's what you came for, all these kingdoms of the world, and I give them to you. You don't have to go to the cross and die. You don't have to bleed, and you don't have to shed no blood. This is the easy way out, is that you bow down and worship. Man, I give you all these kingdoms. And he wasn't talking about Asia, Africa, and all. He was talking about those things in life that we as people makes us. Those, some people call them mountains, some people call them kingdom, religion, entertainment. All these things shapes our lives. And we can see the devil hand in all of them, in the music and everything. The devil said, I got it. It was given to me. My hand's in all this stuff. And that's what you came back here for, to get these kingdoms back. And I give them to you. I'm ready to give them to you. The only thing is worship. Now, he knew if Jesus had to bow down and worship him, the kingdoms were still in his hands.
Yes.
Isn't that a tricky devil? He tricked, he deceived Adam by eating. You know, just, you know, you'll be as God. But here he knew he had to come a different way with Jesus. He knew what Jesus had came to get. He knew he was going to come, because he said it in Genesis, he was going to come back and get these things. I'm coming back and I'm getting them. And the enemy was aware of it. And he said, all you need to do is bow down.
The devil's only power.
And worship.
He has no other power over us. If you don't fall for the deceit, you can't fall under his power. That's the only trick and power he has, is deceit.